Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Are You Not Kentertained? This is episode 39. Today is April 3rd. It is the day after WrestleMania, which means that I am with Steve. And my god damn it, that went to fucking midnight.
That's too much.
I'm sorry, like, I'm consider myself one of the more hardcore fans that there really is, and that was way too fucking much, right?
Yeah, and I thought of something. Like, at what point do the fans stop showing up? Because $10 a month, you can sit at home, you can pause it, you can get food, no lining for the bathroom. There's not really any point to pay that much money to see it live for 7 hours, 8 hours.
God, no. I mean, at that point, you have to take bathroom breaks while you're there that long, which means you're going to miss something, usually.
Or use a cup, maybe? Like an empty cup? But yeah. That'd be weird for the people around you.
I mean, you probably have kids around you, and you're whipping your dick out. I don't know. That just seems like a bad idea on every level.
Yeah, that might not be good.
Maybe if you have, like, a sweatshirt, and you cover yourself, and then you kind of do it casually, you could get away with that, maybe.
That could be.
Or like a blanket, but once again, you're in Orlando. You probably don't need a blanket.
Or a sweatshirt.
Yeah, like, everybody looked so hot. It was awful. After midnight, we're sitting here, and it's great, because Russ is here. Russ looked like shit when he showed up. Russ looked like he hadn't slept in 5 freaking days. And it's 11 o'clock, and they hadn't even got to the Goldberg match yet. There was still the Goldberg, the women's match, and the Taker match. And Russ is sitting there falling asleep during, what was it, Bray versus Randy? That was before that, I think.
I try to pretend that match got bumped.
I try to pretend a lot of things got bumped, but I'm pretty sure it was that match in which Russ was just sitting there falling asleep. It was great. And yes,
was it the concert?
Huh? Oh, the concert.
Was it the concert?
God damn, all right, so this happened. Russ didn't know who the hell Lunch Money Lewis was. I mean, nobody really does, but I mean, we knew that he was going to be there with Flo Rida and Pitbull. And Raylene was here, and she's like, oh, there he is. And Russ is like, what the hell happened to Flo Rida? Like, dude, that's not fucking Flo Rida, you moron. He was so serious.
I wanted Heath Slater to beat up Flo Rida.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get some payback.
All right, so, well, first topic, I mean, since we're already touching on it, should WrestleMania start at least an hour earlier?
At 6?
Yeah.
That means a pre-show at 4?
Yeah, I'd rather do that and at least be done by 11. And you know what? I'm okay with a pay-per-view starting at 6. As long as it's over, I care more about the end time than the start time.
Why don't they just do 24 hours of wrestling? Start with NXT TakeOver and just non-stop wrestling until like Monday at 2 in the morning.
Sure, I mean, they really could, because, you know, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, I mean, you could just use all those people and put them in matches, and it's fine.
Yeah.
I'd actually sit here and watch it on the network, and even if I miss stuff, I'd watch it the next day. I would actually rather do that than what happened with that match.
That was a weird outcome.
Yeah. Like,
I know they did it for Gronk, but getting Strowman and Big Show out, like, first was weird.
But doing it with... Is Gronk really that big of a name? Is he?
For the NFL fans, he is. And among the douchebag frat boy type, he's like the god, so...
Ah, yeah. That makes sense. Douchebag frat boy, which is probably a good chunk of Mania fans. So that, I guess...
Yeah.
I mean, I just think about, like, probably the Patriots are number one or number 1A as far as hated NFL franchises, right there with the Cowboys, typically.
Yeah, most likely.
So, it just seems like you'd rather go with somebody who's a little bit more, lovable, but as you say, god of douchebag frat boys, I can see that.
It's also Mojo's friend in real life, so...
All right, so
how great was the security guard, though?
She had
no idea who he was.
The woman security guard, I'm sitting there, I'm looking, I'm like, what the fuck are you going to do with Gronk?
Like, he was right there, though. She was ready to take him down.
She was, but what was she realistically going to do? I didn't see a freaking lightsaber in her hand.
Maybe she knows judo or something.
Oh my god, could you imagine if, like, she really didn't know and she just, like, went and took Gronk down? Like, how and bad that would have looked
that
for everything?
So great.
Been great. What the fuck happened to Mojo? I did not see any reports of anything happening to Mojo, but did you see that thing on his chest?
Yeah, it's like he got stabbed with a needle or something. Maybe he does adrenaline before, you know, like the Pulp Fiction style.
Oh, okay. Because we were thinking that he had been stabbed, and like he had that perfectly like rectangle bandage.
Like the bandage, yeah.
I was like,
I don't know.
What the fuck? It looks so weird. And then Gronk slapped it. Hard. Which I was like, holy crap, that's crazy. Mojo doesn't even flinch. It's like... Who is more hyped, him or Enzo?
Mojo. Mojo's just insane.
That's crazy, right? Like, that's... Some point, they need to get Mojo and Enzo in a ring together and just let them talk, and let's see whose head explodes first.
It'd be the audience, probably.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, probably. At any point, did you think that a match was going to get just cut? Or did... Like, I legitimately was like, holy crap, they are going to cut the women's SmackDown match.
They needed that, though, to, I guess, bring the heat down from the match before it. But they should have cut some matches. I don't see why you need to go to midnight.
There's no... I'm glad, like, no match got a ton of time. It was just so many matches, so many commercials, so many promo videos... Music performances that were completely unneeded, because when I go to a wrestling event, I don't care about a musical performance.
We needed to see Tinashe's tits almost falling out during the national anthem, or whatever she's saying.
I'm sitting there like, well, there's the reason why she's popular, because she sings like crap. She was not that good of a singer.
No, she wasn't. But who cares about the singing then?
And fortunately, she was in Florida, or else she would have had a chest cold. It was unreal.
Yeah.
Good for us, I mean, to look at that, but Jesus. So, how do you feel about the women's match basically bumping Baron and Dean down to kickoff show? Did it matter, or did it matter?
The way that match went, the Corbin match, it belonged on the pre-show, or not at all, because it was not good. It was awful.
Did it strike you that neither, like, both guys were kind of pissed at getting bumped down, so they just were like, fuck it. I really felt a fuck it attitude.
Dean Ambrose doesn't have good big matches. Like, he's had one good WrestleMania match yet, I don't think.
In all fairness, Dean has been given shit for WrestleMania matches, though, too. He's been given that one Intercontinental Championship match, which was okay. I mean, it was a clusterfuck ladder match. Then he had the shit Brock Lesnar match, which I don't think was necessarily Dean's fault. This match, on the other hand, this was a case of... I think you and I have talked about where Dean kind of wrestles down to his level of competition sometimes.
Yeah, I was hoping Corbin would have done better and actually won, but I guess he didn't deserve it yet. So maybe the feud will continue longer and SummerSlam will win it.
I don't know. It really... It left a bad taste in my mouth, and to me, there was a couple matches I would have put on the kickoff show ahead of Dean and Baron, in theory. I know that they don't ever want to admit that Cena doesn't count, but what the fuck did that match accomplish? That was one of the worst things I have ever seen at WrestleMania.
And that's counting what you saw after with Bray Wyatt?
By the end of the Wyatt match, I was just cheering on the LED bullshit. Because it was so bad, it was something different to look forward to, because that match underwhelmed so much.
Yeah, that should have been on the pre-show.
I would have stuck the Cena match on the pre-show. The Raw women's match, I mean, normally I trash them anyways, but that match had nothing going for it. It wasn't bad, but there was nothing new about it. There was no big spots, no turns, no nothing. It was like the most paint-by-numbers women's elimination match that you could dream up of, right?
I think it would have helped if they didn't have DIY and the Revival team up against the Authors of Pain Saturday night, and then do the same thing Sunday night with the women.
Right. I agree. That match didn't work for me. The build-up never worked for me. That division doesn't work for me. That match didn't work for me. I would have put that on the pre-show. I would just switch that with the SmackDown women's match, because although the SmackDown's women's match wasn't like a technical classic, it was just basically a lot of spots and hitting their big moves, and it never got boring to me. It was quick. It got to the point. I liked it better. Did you?
Yeah, I think the SmackDown women are just better than the Raw women right now. And maybe it will change when they bring Asuka up or whatever, but right now the SmackDown is just better booked and better written. And Naomi had a hometown behind her, so that was good.
Naomi actually had one of the better pops of the night, and I was actually surprised, because women still don't get huge pops by and large. And she got it. I was very happy for her.
I was glad they had to do their entrance. They were able to do it at night, so you get the lights off and the glow and everything.
All right, so that's a whole other thing. I was happy with that, but you talk about entrance, and I'm curious. At what point do they say we don't need to make our wrestlers walk that whole goddamn ramp?
Next year is going to be a full football field to walk down.
Where is it?
80 yards.
Where is it? In New Orleans, right?
I think so, yeah.
God damn it. Like, I'm sitting there watching, like, Big Show lumber his fat ass down there. Well, not so fat ass anymore, but still, like, him and Mark Henry, I'm like, I'd be exhausted by that point.
Yeah, I couldn't walk. Oh, well, I mean, I could walk it, but it'd be
like, by the time you got down there, are you going to be pumped to do a match? You're going to be like, Jesus, I could use a little break here.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. I'd be like, I'm done. Throw the towel.
Like, Naomi fucking just danced her ass all the way down the ring. I was like, wow, good for her.
Yeah, I know, and she still won. She was still ready to go.
Was there a single entrance that entertained you at all? I think Naomi's was perhaps the most interesting and the best done.
Entertaining in a bad way is Seth Rollins's with the lava.
yeah, the worst way possible, yeah.
But it was entertaining. I enjoyed it. I got a laugh out of it.
And that wasn't the thing that set the stage on fire. I don't know if you've seen...
Oh, yeah, Taker's, yeah.
Holy shit. Triple H has entertained me only in the fact that I'm convinced that Stephanie's ass hurt like hell, because she looked so uncomfortable on the back of that thing.
That wasn't much of a seat. It couldn't have been fun to ride.
She looked good, though, which tells me that even-numbered WrestleMania, she looks bad. Odd-numbered WrestleMania, she looks hot. I need to go back in the annals of time and check out this theory, but that's my new theory.
Interesting. That's a new streak, I guess, going on, huh?
That's the best streak going on, because... Is there a streak anymore? Does anybody have an undefeated streak at WrestleMania? Mojo Rawley at 1-0.
Probably, yeah. I don't think anyone does.
I'm really trying to... Bayley. Bayley tactically does.
That's true. That's his first WrestleMania.
But after that, every single person, I think, has... is not undefeated. I'm really struggling to think of anybody else. Roman's been defeated. He would have been my first guess.
Yeah, he's lost. Strowman, I guess, technically lost the Battle Royal, so...
Yeah, I mean, Seth lost to Randy. I mean, Cena's had his... Yeah, the only two streaks I can think of is Mojo and Bayley.
AJ, maybe? AJ Styles?
No, AJ lost to Jericho last year.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, ain't that some shit?
At least he won this. At least he won tonight. Yes, last night.
Yeah, yeah. Which, all right. Let's move on to this question. What was your match of the night?
That's a tough one. Jericho KO.
Really?
Yeah, Shane surprised me in how long he lasted, but it wasn't that great.
See, I take the AJ versus Shane because it had spots and kept me entertained. There were a couple of slow spots in that Jericho KO match for me. It wasn't bad. It was probably the second or third best match from my perspective. Because I also got to include the ladder match. But I can't ever say the ladder match was the best one because of who won it.
Exactly.
So it kind of comes down to the Jericho KO and the Shane match. Which also brings up another point. Those were three of the first four freaking matches.
Which seemed like a week ago.
Oh my god, yeah. Like, don't you space out your good matches? You don't want to kill the crowd with your good matches early on, do you?
No. It should be a slow build to the best match of the night. Which, I mean, I know why he didn't do it with Taker, because, you know, it was his last match and all. But, yeah, you should space him out at least. Maybe 1 hour.
Yeah, I have no qualms with Taker going on last, which is something I want to talk about more without, you know, going off on complete tangents, but aside from that, I think ego got in the way of too many matches going on later instead of spacing out the ones that they knew were going to be slam dunks. I don't think anybody expected that Triple H versus Seth Rollins match to be that good because of Seth not being 100%, and Triple H is really starting to show his age. Triple H can go 20 minutes with no problem. Triple H can't carry a match for 20 minutes like he used to be able to, you know, 10 years ago.
Right, he's not going to do any Iron Man matches anymore like he would The Rock.
Right. Triple H still has it in the fact that he can hold his own. But he's kind of like where Undertaker was against CM Punk, what was it, 4 years ago? Where he can go in the ring for that long, but he's not capable of carrying. Which is, there's nothing wrong with it. But I think his ego insists that he can.
Right. He needs to have that half hour long match and full of slow pacing and taunts and sledgehammers and his wife getting put to a table. And
she took that like a champ.
She did.
I gotta give Steph props for that.
I don't think Charlotte would have done that.
I don't
or
think
Sasha. She'd bounce off it. And
Sasha would be like, oh, I didn't break the table. Going back to the Shane match, is there a graceful way for Shane to do that top rope elbow drop? Because we got to think about it. There's no matter how he does it, when his opponent moves, he's going to hit that table, and he's going to slide right off, and it's going to be a horrible crash. Is there a better way of doing that?
No, unless you put crash pads under it, which would look bad.
Sort of like how last year, Hell in the Cell's big pillow bump?
Exactly, yeah. Other than that, you can't do anything about it.
I think it's safer just to have your opponent there to help stop the momentum.
Yeah, honestly. Or have the bounce team stay there and catch you.
Right, JBL could handle that.
Yeah, he'd be fine.
Let's change gears for a minute, because I want to tackle more WrestleMania, but before we get too far, you watched the Hall of Fame, you watched NXT this weekend, right?
I did.
Yep. Alright, what was your favorite induction speech?
I'm going to say Angle's, because it was seemed to be shorter than anyone else's. You know, he was straight to the point. He hit all his highlights of his career, and then he got off stage.
He hit he had a game plan. He came out, relived all of his great points, and he just got off there. Like, he's the number one guy, and he's the guy that took the least amount of time, I feel.
Yeah, he got, 20 minutes, I think, and that was it.
I'm... only thing, and Russ brought this up, and I agree, I wish he would have been able to tell at least one or two stories. I'd like to have heard a story with him, Triple H, and Stephanie, and maybe him with Austin. I'd like that.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
But
with Vince even, too. Well, maybe that there'll be a special probably in the network about it or something.
Well, I was wondering if maybe it was touched on that Corey Graves interview, and maybe they said, we've already given Kurt an hour-long interview, maybe, you know, just have a fun induction speech.
That's possible. I didn't see the interview. I have no idea what was on it.
Yeah, I haven't either. I also really would have loved to have heard him touch on the Undertaker Vince McMahon on a plane incident.
Maybe he does it in the interview. Yeah.
Because that's the most interesting thing to me. It really is the most single most interesting thing that's ever happened with Kurt Angle, aside from him meeting us twice.
Yeah. He seemed more together. I guess that makes sense. Like, when we met him, it was after a match and stuff, but he seemed awfully glassy-eyed.
Well, now that we know what was... the painkillers and stuff, I'd probably be pretty fucked up, too.
Yeah. He seemed more together. What with it?
Yeah, he
seems like
from
the one
like
second we talked to him.
Yeah. Any other highlights from the Hall of Fame for you?
Not really. I guess seeing Rick Rude's son, like, being, like, 6'6 or whatever, the guy's huge.
Alright, that was the first thing that came out of my mouth. I immediately typed to a couple of them, like, Jesus Christ, Rick Rude's son is huge.
He should be under contract.
He was good on the mic.
He was, yeah.
I liked what he did. I liked DDP's, despite it going 45 minutes, but 45 minutes became the norm that night.
It was too much of an inspirational speech.
And that's exactly what... Isn't that what you expected, though?
That's what he does, though, so yeah.
I actually liked Beth Phoenix's, and at first I wasn't digging it, but then she got talking about the whole, like, how Molly Holly helped her out, and I was like, thank God Molly Holly's finally getting some recognition, because that bitch should be in the Hall of Fame way before Beth Phoenix should be.
Maybe next year.
Better be fucking next year, because, out of women, it's Chyna, Miss Elizabeth, Molly Holly, Victoria... All of them belong in before we start putting in anybody from the past 10 years. I'm sick of that.
Except Trish Stratus. I think she was huge.
Trish made sense. I was even okay with Lita because despite me not liking Lita, except when she was having sex on TV with Edge, I know a lot of people liked Lita, so that was okay.
Yeah, she got the whole Hardy Boys thing for her, working for her.
I hate that whole idea, though, that without Lita, Trish wouldn't have been as big. No, that's wrong. Without Lita, Trish would have just had great matches with other women. Without Trish, Lita, she would have been significantly less significant. Right?
Yeah, she'd just be the Hardy Boys manager or whatever.
She'd be Miss Congeniality.
Yes, she would.
trying to think who else I liked. No offense to Eric LeGrand, but his speech went on way too long, and I appreciate his message, but it wasn't
I actually fast-forwarded his. I didn't even watch his.
It was... I gotta say, Dana Warrior has become a hell of a good public speaker.
She had to be, I guess.
Pretty much, yeah, in order to keep making that cash.
I didn't like the Rock and Roll Express.
Boring.
Their age showed.
Big time, especially Gibson, but Ricky Morton seemed a little bit more crazy than Gibson.
They had that one good line where he was like, I have 7 kids, and the other guy's like, and they all look like me.
I think that may have been the only time I left.
Yeah, definitely.
Did Cornette let you down?
No, he knew he couldn't go off like that, like he wanted him to. He just stuck to the script and did his job. Because it's not about him, it's about the Rock and Roll Express and Hall of Fame.
I did like his line that they had more sex on their way to the ring than he did in a year.
Yes, that was good.
It was such a good line. I thought Teddy Long's was fine because it didn't go on too long, but it was fun.
Yeah, he got, like Angle, he was a short to the point, got his thanks out and left. No stories, no long rambling things.
Yeah, I appreciate when people do, like, the whole thank you thing, but when you do the thank you thing, Keep it 3 to 5 minutes. No more than 5 minutes. Like, we get it. A lot of people helped you or else you wouldn't be where you are. But we, the fans, we want to hear stories. We want to hear something funny. You know what I mean?
Like, and if you're going to thank your mom, do it, like, once and be done with it.
Yeah, if you have 17 kids, you don't have to name all of them. We get it.
Every single one of them you have to name off.
I hope Heath Slater names off all of his kids when he gets inducted into the 2031 Hall of Fame.
That would be awesome. I can't wait.
I really hope he does make the Hall of Fame.
I'm sure he will. I mean, Coco Beware is in it.
Is Coco Beware the measuring stick of how bad you can be and still make the Hall of Fame?
I would have to see who else is in it, but he's pretty close.
He's pretty much like... He's almost the definition of the Mendoza line for Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
I mean, if Virgil makes it, which we... I don't know if you saw it, but there was a signed Virgil for Hall of Fame, then, you know, that bar does get lowered.
If they pay him the money, he'll go.
Yeah, he would.
I'm sure they'll ask him. I mean, I doubt they'll ask him, but...
You know who is a weird choice? And it's only because I didn't watch him in his earlier work. But Sergeant Slaughter? Was he really an all-time great?
He was a G.I. Joe. So, that's all you need.
Alright, I mean...
I have the action figure still somewhere.
I think I gave Russ all my G.I. Joe action figures for his son. Because I'd held on to them for the first 30-some years of my life. I'm like, I guess I should give it up.
Yeah, pass it on.
Like pay them and my turtles, my Ninja Turtles figures. I had... Because I still have a room full of fucking toys. I have fucking Funko Pop figures like an idiot. Because once you get one, you end up having more than one for some
reason. Those things are addictive. Yeah.
Yeah. I have, like, a bunch of Freddy Krueger and Simpsons, Star Wars, wrestling action figures. I have a Bushwhacker still in their package.
I have, I'm looking at right now, 2 Ashes and 1 Evil Ash still in the box. And there's, like, a 2-4 Ash thing in my closet.
Nice.
And I think I have some ECW figures in boxes still.
I really don't have many of my wrestling figurines still in package. And what I do have, I have the weirdest collection because aside from the Ultimate Warrior, all of them have been gifts. Which include the Bushwhackers, Earl Hebner, Neville, and The Miz.
That's an interesting weird, right? Selection, yeah.
And it's all from the same dude. But like last December for my birthday, he gave me Neville and The Miz. And I was just like, wow, you just randomly found 2 wrestling figures and bought them for me. And then they both, like, started... Well, Miz had been killing it past few months, but Neville had been unseen. I was like, wow, you... In hindsight, he picked 2 really good guys.
So maybe you should have him pick someone that's underperforming now, next year. Like a Zack Ryder or something.
I'm going to be like, you know who I really like? Heath Slater.
That's right, Bobby, one of those.
And Curtis Axel.
On Bo Dallas.
All right, so did you watch the red carpet for the Hall of Fame?
I did not, no.
So I turn it on, and just like I was not really paying attention. I'm checking out how short AJ Styles' wife is. I see Corey Graves' woman, and like she looks exactly like you would expect Corey Graves' woman to look like.
Well, didn't we see her on, was it Breaking Ground, Proving Ground, whatever that special
was? Yeah, Breaking Ground, we saw her. So then we see this couple, and I'm like, oh, there's Bo Dallas. His woman looks okay. Then I'm like, that's not fucking Bo Dallas. I then realize that the woman is Bailey with her hair down, like, not in a ponytail, and it really threw me the fuck off. I was like, wait,
I'll look that up now.
It's so, like, he really didn't look like Bo Dallas, but he's the only wrestler I could think of that had remotely that look.
Right, yeah. I'll have to watch that now and find out. Look at it.
Also, I gotta watch the Marine 5, because although I've never watched a single Marine movie, I gotta see it for the freaking Social Outcast minus, you know, Adam Rose.
Yeah, they're all in it. And Naomi's in it.
Yeah, Naomi. I just want to hear Curtis Axel say, "The Axeman cometh."
I'm sure he does in that movie, too. Yeah.
They showed in the trailer. He does.
Oh, did they? That's awesome.
Yeah. Who do you want to see next year's Hall of Fame? Like, who do you want to see lead it?
Taker. Or will they wait till Texas for Taker?
I'd wait. I'd wait unless there's something known about Taker's health. If you know somebody's sick, Vader should have been inducted this year.
Vader should have next year if he's still alive. Well, he'd be the posthumous entry, probably.
Unfortunately, like, they really dropped the ball there. Like, I get Rick Rude was very deserving, but he's not going anywhere.
Right, his kids can wait another year.
Right. Vader should have gone in while he could have appreciated it, and that's kind of bullshit that they didn't do it. Or just bump Teddy Long. He appears to be pretty healthy.
Right. Yeah, he's in bigger shape, it seems like.
Are they done inducting celebrities, do you think?
No. I think Shaq was supposed to be this year, but when he bailed on him, they didn't want him in.
Shouldn't that have been more of a story? Like, Shaq kind of fucked Big Show, and Big Show said that this was his last year.
Yeah, Big Show got the shaft.
He got the shaft from Shaq.
That's right.
I felt so bad for Big Show, and once again, I got plenty to say about that Battle Royal, but let's move over to NXT. I fully admit I was not paying attention as much as I would have liked to because I was getting tanked, and I had my ginger friend over here named Ron, who was even worse off than I was, and he wouldn't shut the fuck up, so I didn't get to really enjoy NXT all that much. I plan on rewatching it maybe tonight. I know the tag team match was great, but we all kind of expected that to be match of the year quality. So far, is it your match of the year or no?
I would say so. I'm trying to think what else it was this year. It's just all blending together after the 12 hours of wrestling nonstop.
I mean, Cena Styles at Rumble was okay. I know there was that one Japanese match, but I felt that was overhyped.
I didn't even see that. I don't watch that stuff because it's not worth it.
Yeah, let's just keep dropping people on their heads and be like, ooh, this is great sports entertainment. Yep, and you're cutting their careers significantly short. But yeah,
Just wait till Shinsuke knocks people's heads off on Raw.
I gotta vent and say that I get so mad when I see people online like, I can't fucking wait for Daniel Bryan to get out of his contract with WWE so he can go back to wrestling.
He's gonna die.
He's gonna, like, you're cheering on this man's death.
He's so selfish. He has a family now. He's a kid. Give it up.
He's become actually one of the people I dislike because of that stupid mentality of, he's got to be making really good money doing what little bit he's doing.
Yeah. Stop being infused with Miz. He can't hit you. Stop antagonizing him.
Right. Or if he... I would be okay if he said, give me one more match. Let me have a match with whoever. Miz, AJ, one more match. And that's it. And no diving headbutts.
If he would change his style, he'd be fine. But when he came back that last time, he was doing headbutts still.
Right, he didn't learn anything.
He needs to do a Miz safe style, which he hates, apparently.
It baffles me. He really pisses me off. I hope you're having a kid, and hopefully Bree can get in his fucking head and be like, stay with the WWE, you have basically a lifetime job if you want it.
Right, don't be like Mick Foley.
Right. Pisses me off. NXT, any other matches stand out for you?
No. There was five. No.
Five. Nothing. Yeah. I really didn't pay attention to the Bobby Roode match, which is the one I really want to pay attention to after the tag team one. But it didn't seem very exciting to me.
No, it wasn't. He's like a Triple H style wrestler.
Yeah.
So, that's what you're going to get, Triple H Jr., pretty much.
So, he'll be getting booked really well soon enough.
Oh, yeah, he'll be a 15-time champion in no time.
I'm telling... God, I gotta go... I guys go on tangent for a second. I really believe that Orton's winning that belt two more times, and he's going to tie Cena, and they're going to have a match at WrestleMania over who gets to be number 17 the first time, and Cena's going to complete his revenge tour. Because Randy Orton's the last guy that holds a victory over John Cena at WrestleMania that he has not vanquished.
It makes sense.
Yeah. That's my theory. I came up with this theory a few months ago, and I'm 100% set on it.
Do you think it'll be like one of Cena's last matches, too?
The weird thing with Cena is that he gets injured a little bit more nowadays, but he still recovers like nobody else does. So
right. He's still like a mutant.
HGH.
I don't know which is which.
Yeah. Doesn't it just come down to if he really wants it? Like, how much does he want it? I don't hold it against him if he wants to retire soon. Oh, or if he wants to keep going for 5 years, go for it.
Yeah, do whatever makes you money. Whatever you want to do.
He wrestles a very safe style. I don't know if... Has Cena ever even injured anybody?
Not that I know of.
Like, I think that's kind of underrated. Cena's been going at it for a long time. I can't recall him ever injuring anybody.
I mean, we know he's been injured by people.
Yeah. What the fuck did... What was it? Seth that fucking mangled his face?
Seth pretty much blew his nose up, yeah.
Why is Seth still at the top of the card? That motherfucker not only gets hurt, but he hurts people. When is enough enough?
The Phoenix Splash.
Ah, the Phoenix Splash.
Should have won the match. I don't get that at all.
I don't get Seth doing any flippity shit where he lands on his knees. I wouldn't do that.
You had that one bad knee, apparently. You shouldn't be doing moves on your knee.
Right, like, you just... That match didn't suck because Seth couldn't go. That match just sucked because there was a lot of stupid things going on, and it pisses me off.
There was no Samoa Joe.
That's a topic I want to get to soon enough. It's on my list. Let's wrap up NXT quickly. Aleister Black, did he do anything for you?
No. I think if they establish his gimmick as some kind of a cult leader or something, maybe it'll be better. But it's just a lot of kicks, pretty much.
I mean, you know, is he basically doing Eric Young's gimmick right now?
No, he just had those weird little vignettes, you know, and then he shows up in Russell's regular match. He sits in the ring after the match, before the match, cross-legged, like he's praying or something.
That's how I sit a lot of times. Actually, as a matter of fact, when he started sitting, I'm like, holy shit, I'm sitting like that right now.
It was just like a regular, you know, kicking and strikes and stuff like that.
So he's one of the new generation strike wrestlers.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Are you at all surprised that Ember Moon didn't win the match?
A little bit, because I thought Asuka would be going up. But this match helped make Asuka the actual heel that she's been the whole time, in my opinion.
It's about damn time that they freaking made her the heel, because she's been acting up for what? Months now, right?
For more than that, I think. I think her first match against Dana Brooke, she was using her taunt and stuff, and that's a heel stuff. Faces don't do that, supposedly.
Right. And do you think Asuka's going to be a better heel than a face?
She's one of those sneaky foreigners. If you're in the 80s gimmicks.
Vince McMahon already has a hard on for this.
I think she will be, yeah.
I think a dominant heel is always better than a dominant face.
Right,
despite whatever Vince says.
Then you have the face chasing them and trying and failing a few times, and they'll finally getting the victory.
Which is why... Here's the thing. This is why Cena doesn't work. This is why
Hogan... And Roman Reigns.
Yeah, why Roman... Why fans started rebelling against Hogan is because he was going to win no matter what. But Austin, on the other hand, he got his ass beat quite a lot, and he did eventually triumph, but he made it... There was an air of believability to it.
Right, he was constantly going to the hospital and stealing ambulances and coming back.
Getting arrested. He did all sorts of crazy things, and it worked. And that's why... Roman Reigns, if he was going to be booked this way, he should have been heel all along. would just made sense. Roman's character would be so good as a heel, as the big dickhead guy. He wouldn't have to change his character at all, because he basically is a heel that they keep trying to tell us is a face.
I think they might pull the trigger on him tonight after he beat Taker.
Yeah. Well,
then that makes Brock a face, which I guess he kind of is.
Yeah. Well, that's two other topics I got for later on. We'll wrap up the NXT thing quickly. Who do you see getting called up between tonight and tomorrow night from NXT?
I guess Shinsuke.
Shinsuke on Raw or SmackDown?
Probably Raw.
Rumor has it that's gonna be SmackDown, but God damn it, this is kind of part of a whole other thing I want to talk about. But all I want to say is this: is that you can give Raw Shinsuke, Ty Dillinger, Samoa Joe. You can give them all Sandy. You can give them DIY. You can give them the Revival, and Raw's still gonna fuck them really hard without zero lubrication. So I see no purpose in putting Shinsuke on Raw.
Well, that's a good point, but he's gotta go somewhere.
Yeah, well, doesn't it make sense for him to go to SmackDown since AJ right now can give back a few losses? Wouldn't it make sense for Shinsuke and AJ to feud right now?
Yeah, and SmackDown does have need for more people. But they only have 2 hours. Which means they only have so many spots.
Cena's gone for a bit, so
I think the Miz should get a title shot next.
Well, shit, this Bray thing's probably going to go on longer, but do you think Ty Dillinger's getting the call-up finally?
No, he doesn't want to take over yet.
Yeah, ain't that some shit like...
Oh, he needed Tyler Breeze and he get called up.
Well, Endzone Cast didn't win shit. They got called up.
That's true.
Yeah. Sometimes a talent just has it. I think Ty Dillinger's ready, but I think he'd be more ready if they gave him a run in NXT... winning a few feuds.
Yeah, I think he needs to win a takeover to maybe win the belt from Bobby Roode. Next takeover.
If he gets called up, isn't he just going to become a novelty and not taken seriously?
He probably would be even if he had a good run in NXT.
Yeah, probably. But so, yeah. I mean, alright, so if we agree that he's going to have the same main roster run, then is there a point in him having a good NXT run?
No. You can just be in a job with all the independent guys that you call in, like he has been doing.
I'll tell you, here's the sad thing. Whenever I see like a young guy from NXT, I'm like, who would I have him feud with? And my answer, 80 to 90% of the time, is The Miz. How has The Miz become that guy?
I don't know. He just turned a corner and all of a sudden he's like the best there is. I don't know.
He brings out shocking. The best in his opponents. In the weirdest of way.
It's that safe style he wrestles.
It is, and it's his promo ability. It's him having a ridiculously hot chick. It's everything. Like, he's a D-list celebrity, but aside from that, he's kind of got a really good character.
Yeah, behind Jericho and Owens, he's probably the best character they have.
Yeah, goddamn. We're losing Cena and Jericho and Taker. I mean, not that Taker was...
He's a character. I mean, the whole thing was the character.
Do you think DIY or Revival is getting called up?
I'm going to say they both do, and that leaves Heavy Machinery to feud for the belts for the next, like, 3 or 4 months.
Don't you think TM61 gets the next shot?
No, I would push Heavy Machinery all the
way. I would too, but... I'm just like, I hope they just gave up on TM61, because I did not like them.
Although they did give the Authors of Pain the hardest match, didn't they? And the tournament?
Yeah, they did. They did. TM61 could be something. Maybe they need a manager. All wrestling fans know that some talent needs managers, and WWE's just like, we don't like managers. Well, why the hell not?
Why don't they just pair them up with the Australian ladies there? They have an Australian faction.
I'd be fine with that.
I mean, they're criminals anyways. Turn them heel.
When I fantasy booked WrestleMania, I had Braun Strowman. I don't know what the fuck match it was, but I had him end up with Charlotte and Sasha by his side, because I was like, right now neither of those girls are doing anything. They could be arm candy for Braun Strowman, and he could become the most dominant guy of the next 12 months.
He could pick them up and carry him to ringside in each hand.
Like, think about how cool that would make Braun Strowman to have the bitches have that awesome strength and get a push because everything's starting to click for him, finally.
That would be amazing. It better than book they have planned for him now, probably. I mean, what's he doing now?
I've long been convinced, like, and I know every other hardcore fan's convinced this too, but I really truly believe that if I could book either show for 6 to 12 months, I would put on a better show. I'm at 100% convinced of this. It's not because I'm great. It's because I understand what fans want. I understand how you have to book things.
SmackDown's been pretty good. Except SmackDown for tag teams. They've been pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. I just Raw's the worst booked show I've seen in... I mean, they're not TNA bad, but they're bad.
I feel like if you let the wrestlers themselves have input, it helps too, because I feel like Jericho and Owens probably got a lot of leeway in what they did the whole time.
And that's why it worked.
Right. Yeah, they know the business, they know what to do. Jericho, I mean, if you read his books, he knows like a lot, and he's very smart about how to book stuff.
With DIY Revival, would you put them on the same brand, split them up, and which brand would you have who?
I would go Revival, SmackDown. No, I don't know. Because the internet loves DIY, which means SmackDown probably.
Isn't Revival and Gallows and Anderson too close? Like, I wouldn't have them on the same roster. That's my biggest gripe.
I think the Revival is better than Gallows and Anderson. I think
the Revival is the best tag team on the roster, period.
They're the best tag team we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I just feel that it's almost double dipping with Anderson and Gallows on the same team as on the same brand as Gallows and Anderson. Like,
So I guess DIY to Raw and then Revival to SmackDown.
Yeah, or I would be fine if I'd even made a proposal of trading Enzo and Cass with American Alpha because both teams need a fresh start. That would help a lot of things.
Freshen it up a bit, yeah. That'd be nice.
Because Enzo and Cass need something new in the biggest way, and American Alpha have been fucked.
And if Angle was GM on Raw, he can help Alpha out that way, too.
Ooh, I didn't even think about that.
Although, then you have Shelton on SmackDown.
Is Shelton coming back? He's healthy, but I've read that they may not even bring him back now.
Put him on NXT or something. I mean, he can still go, probably.
Isn't that something that NXT's dropping the ball on? Like, they had Rhino, and Rhino really helped those guys.
He really helped Corbin a lot, I think.
Shouldn't they have at least 1 to 2 guys like that on NXT at all times to help these guys learn how to put together a match and how to carry a feud and all that shit?
I guess they have Eric Young and Bobby Roode now to do that, and maybe Ono, too, a little bit. But yeah, that helps them all a lot to do that.
Fat ass Ono.
Yeah, that's a shame.
If he can't get himself in shape, though, down in NXT, I mean, I understand why Samoa Joe and Owens didn't, because that's just their body type, and they would look weird if they dropped, you know, 40 pounds. Ono would look really good if he dropped 20 to 30 pounds. Do you think he'll do it?
I want to say he will, but I guess it depends whether or not he'll get called up. I mean, he's probably in the later years.
He's as ready as he's going to be. Like, there's right. No doubt. He needs to get rid of that fucking basketball jersey.
Yes.
It looks awful. He looks like James Storm did about 2 years ago when James Storm was all kinds of fat and out of shape.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. He was there for one match.
Yeah, he looked awful. The other name that I've heard from NXT that's a possible call-up, and he was a big-time possible call-up last year, was No Way Jose.
He's
Do you see that?
No, he isn't ready yet. He's like Adam Rose and everybody else. He has a gimmick, but that's it.
He's got a gimmick. He also has size, though. That's something that WWE obviously cares.
You can't teach that.
No, you can't. And as I joked last night, I really wish Gallows and Anderson would come out with a tape measure. Measure Cass, be like, he's only 6'10", sorry.
That'd be funny, but
it'd be hilarious. It would be beyond hilarious. I wish they would do it.
How long do you think Drew Galloway will be in NXT?
This was all news to me, but god damn it, I'm so happy that he is back. Drew Galloway doesn't need NXT right now. Drew Galloway, since I did watch TNA, I can tell you right now, Drew Galloway is 100% main roster ready. And if he moved to the main roster, he'd be one of the top 20 guys, in my opinion.
Well,
he really
He was good. He was good on SmackDown until he got beat by his wife or girlfriend or whatever.
He was good, but when he went to TNA, they let him be more aggressive. That was something he started off with in WWE, and then kind of lost some of the aggressiveness, and then the three-man band thing. When he went to TNA, they let him go out and do more moves. They told him to really be aggressive, and he killed it with that.
I wish they'd do that more often, because the Usos did more moves as heels, and they're a lot better for it.
I still say that we don't need to get rid of heels and faces, but we need to say some heels we're going to cheer on, and some guys that are treated as faces are realistically heels, and we got to stop treating it in that manner.
So it needs to be like ECW, where Van Damme was pretty much a cocky heel, but he was the best in the business, so he cheered a lot.
I mean, Sandman, for all intents and purposes, was pretty much a dickhead, right?
Yes, he was an alcoholic.
So, yeah, that's what we need. We need to stop being told who to cheer for, and when you take that out of the equation, because ECW is just like, you fucking cheer whoever the fuck you're going to do, it will adjust.
Like, we're telling our story no matter what. You cheer for what you want.
And therein lies the brilliance of it. So, well, I would really like see
WWE does that too, though. They're like, we're doing this story, you're gonna like it no matter what. So it's kind of the same thing, but not.
Yeah. Speaking of, Paul Heyman, why is he not in the Hall of Fame yet? Because he doesn't look healthy. We know he's older. You cannot do that man posthumously. You need to get that man in the Hall of Fame next year.
He needs to be able to give him a speech. Yeah.
Oh, of anybody that I want, if he wanted to give an hour-long speech, I'm all for it.
Well, yeah, it'd be awesome. That'd be amazing.
He's probably the last person that... Him and Undertaker. Undertaker can talk as long as he wants, and I will hang on to every single word that he has to say.
Do you think Taker will, though?
I don't know, because, I mean, it's like Vince McMahon won't induct himself in the Hall of Fame. Like, he's not going in the Hall of Fame till he's dead, which is stupid as shit, and it pisses me off, but we know that's the likelihood of it.
Right, yeah.
Will Taker ever give that interview? Will Taker get a send-off tonight? I mean...
I was shocked last night when he kissed Michelle after the match.
That's
when you know
he's
done.
So, fuck it. I mean, I'm done with everything else. Let's talk about... This is the biggest story going on right now. Undertaker appears to be done, not because he took off the robe, not because of the hats or the glove, because he kissed Michelle. And he's never showed a human sign. The only time
he's never broke kayfabe, whatever they call it.
The closest he came was like his little tribute to Paul Bearer. That was like the absolute closest to
kayfabe. Oh, right, yeah.
I mean, so this is huge. First question, where does Taker rank for you all time?
That's tough. Top 10, maybe top 5.
I've long held the belief, and this is not sentimentality kicking in, I've been arguing this for probably over a decade now, which says a lot, I say Taker's been my number one guy. He just is, only in the fact he's been able to do things that no guy his size was ever able to do. He's had a character that has thrived, and even when he switched up to American Badass, he was still fucking awesome.
He's like the embodiment of like what professional wrestling is, you know, the theatricality, the wrestling, everything. It's like a Taker.
Right. He is. Like, no, he is not Shawn Michaels or Ric Flair as far as in-ring, but he kind of, really, he kind of is, in the fact that for a guy his size, he is the Ric Flair of that size. And he never, the cool thing about Taker, one thing I think Ric Flair is overrated for is Ric Flair is known for his championships. He's also known as one of the all-time greats, but he's known for his championships. Championships never defined Undertaker. He could have never had a title, and it would have, his character would never have suffered, really.
Right, yeah, because he didn't need a belt. And he said he didn't want a belt. I mean, I assume if he wanted one, he could have one if he wanted.
Right, like, his feuds were never over a damn belt. It was just, his shit was always like, either you attacked me and burned me alive or something, or it's just about respect. That's awesome as shit.
Yeah, and he was like, everyone likes him back in the back too, which is amazing.
Is there a single person more well liked in the business than Undertaker?
Jim Ross.
I feel Jim Ross has to have some enemies because Jim Ross had to fire some motherfuckers.
Well, I mean, Vince probably, but
Vince is beloved, but Vince is also hated by a lot of people, I think.
Yeah, because he killed the territories and stuff. Yeah, I don't know.
I've never heard a single negative thing said about The Undertaker, aside from idiot fans, who are like, oh, well, he buried somebody. No. I can't think of anybody Taker ever legitimately buried.
Well, he did bury people in those matches.
Well, the buried alive matches and Maven at the Royal Rumble, right. But I mean, legitimately, he didn't do, like, the shit that Cena's done.
Or Shawn Michaels, or Triple H.
Right. Or Hogan.
Or Hogan, yep.
A Taker just, I don't know, he just seems like the most well-liked, most respected guy in the business. And although that may not count as far as what you take into consideration for all-time great wrestler, it's still a cool thing to say.
Yeah. I mean, he was, like, the head of the backstage area.
He was the judge.
That's right, he was. Yep.
Did you prefer how it ended, or would you have preferred everybody to come out from the backstage and give him, like, a standing O?
At first, I thought they would turn the lights off, and then when they come back on, it'd be just his boots in the ring. But I think that the way it ended was good. I don't think he wants people to, you know, celebrate him that much.
Did you see the picture that, like, all, like, his gear was still in the ring, like, 30 minutes after everybody basically had left the arena?
No, I saw Roman Reigns backstage, like, looking all sad and, like, crying or whatever.
Like, I feel bad. Like, who? I don't even know. Like, I would feel awkward if I had to be the one that had to, like, pick up Taker's gears. Like, I wouldn't want to do it. And I guess that goes on to Roman Reigns. How the hell do you think Roman Reigns feels?
Probably no one's ever going to like me now.
Like, if I'm Roman Reigns, I'm like, did I just commit career suicide?
You could tell he was already nervous because he missed a few spots in the match.
Oh my god, his way down to the ring, we kept joking. It was like, he's just thinking, if I fuck up just one thing, Taker's going to fucking kill me for ruining his career, his retirement match.
Like that reverse tombstone he tried twice and couldn't get him up?
I felt so bad, but here was the thing. The angle that Taker was at, Roman probably didn't want to, like, ruin Taker's back, and Taker didn't have the strength to kind of help him, and Roman's like, I'm in a can't-win situation right now, so they just said, fuck it.
Right, he's probably just called an audible. In that ending sequence where he, like, bounced off the ropes and, like, grabbed his arm and then punched him, that was kind of weird.
I liked, and I don't know, some people may not have liked it, but I really liked how that final move when Roman ran the bounce off the ropes 2-3 times. I liked how Taker kind of turned and turned back like a confused old man.
Right. Yeah, that was good.
It was such a good touch. It was better than him just standing and looking at one way. Like, it made more sense for him to be the old guy just, like, watching, not knowing what to do.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's a super spear. No one's going to get up from that, I guess.
Would you have had Taker lose the last match?
I think there's no way you could tell Taker to win that match.
Yeah, pretty much. It's not about what we want. It's about how Taker was raised. And Taker, I mean, we've heard for years that Taker said that he was going to go out on his back for his last match.
That's how you do it. How you're supposed to do it. And I mean, there's no way Vince would be like, Taker, you're winning this match and you're never coming back.
Right. All right, this is like a two-part question. I'll say both parts because they'll help you answer the first part. Was Roman the right guy, all things considering where we were up to this point, and B, had Brock never ended the streak, which we all agree should have never happened, who would you have had retire Taker? So those are two different questions. Is Roman the right guy right now to have done it?
The way they booked WrestleMania, he had to do it. I would have had Strowman do it myself, but hopefully this leads to a Roman Reigns heel turn and gets him on the right path.
Yeah, Roman's one of the three candidates, at the very least. I'd argue that I would have liked to have seen an AJ versus Taker, but after seeing how Taker was last night, AJ could not have gotten as good of a match actually as Roman got.
He might have. I mean, he carried Shane.
He carried Shane, but it's different when you're working with a guy, an older guy that's that big. That's the tough part.
That's true. Yeah.
Whereas Roman was able to lift him up and kind of toss him around. AJ would have had to do more high flying stuff. It may have worked, or it may have been more awkward. I questioned that, and I was like, okay, Roman made sense. I would have liked Bray, but given how everything else was booked, Bray didn't make sense. So it was either Roman or Braun. I just don't know. As far as I know, Roman's incredibly well-liked backstage, respected by guys. Braun isn't hated or anything. He just hasn't been there yet.
Yeah, I think Taker probably maybe picked Roman at one point. Maybe after Mania or in Rumble. Yeah.
I think so. Plus, you know, being a part of that family, I think, really did help Roman in this case, because that's kind of like the Samoan hearts.
Right. Yeah.
So the next part of the question is, if you had your choice of anybody to have broken the streak and the Brock incident never happened, who would you have had break the streak?
It would have to be someone young, like the next generation. And the only one ready was Roman Reigns, I think.
I think Bray would have... Bray absolutely, unequivocally, would have been my choice.
Yeah, but they booked him terribly.
Yes, everything would have had... In a perfect world, had you had the choice, and the person would have been built up properly, Bray's my pick. Followed by, it really depends on how they see Braun or Baron backstage, because both those guys are young guys that could be around for the next 10 years.
Corbin would have been good, yeah. And Bray could have been like Jake the Snake if they booked him properly.
Right. But Roman, at the very worst, is my number 4 choice. So I know a lot of people are pissed off about it, but people need to get over this fucking bullshit Roman hate, because it's not him. Any person put in that position been like, hey, you want to main event all these pay-per-views and make millions of dollars? No, this would be disrespecting the business. Really? Right. That's what you'd say?
I mean, like, really? Sign me up.
Like, every last motherfucker is a goddamn hypocrite that blames fucking Roman for what's happening. It's not his fault. And it's like at work. Hey, Steve, we're going to give you a $5 an hour raise. You don't have any added pressure.
Nope.
You can say no, and you know, hey, at least you're keeping the business in the front of your mind, or are you going to take the money?
taking the money.
Right.
That's all? $5?
Well, $5 an hour is a pretty good increase. No,
that's pretty good. I think I'm in my spot, too, in the parking lot.
Okay, you get your own fucking spot, too, you dick.
Yes.
All honesty, I have that Taker match actually is my fourth best match of the night. Maybe it's sentimentality, but I thought I was really into the match. Not like excited, but I watched the whole match intently. Like, I sat back, kind of like appreciated everything that was happening. I thought, yeah, there was, you know, a couple of things here and there, but by and large, they told a really good story. And that has to count for something, in my opinion.
I was watching it, and I was like, Taker has to win this, right? He's winning this, right? And then the final three count, I was like, huh, that must be his last match. And then he had the whole thing with the getting dressed again to take his hat off. And then kissing Michelle, I was like, yep, that's it. He's done. So, I mean, that's the one way you can book it.
Was at one point, I don't know if it was the second to last one, Taker almost did not get his arm up. Like, that was one of the all-time closest kickouts. I think the ref may have actually held it back.
I think just I think he came a slow for that one.
Yeah. Even right up till the end, I was sitting there like, right before the super spear, I'm like, Taker's gonna give him the big boot, he's gonna chokes him, he's going to do something. I was like a kid again. I was still holding out that weird hope that Taker just had that one last hurrah in him.
Yeah, and then you're like, well, it is what it is. He couldn't go another year. He knew it. So
I'm going to use this analogy, and it's probably really wrong to use this analogy, but it's the wrestling fan's form of cancer. In that you constantly are cheering on a person who has cancer. Like, pretty much anybody that has cancer, aside from, like, the most dickheaded of dicks, you know, like, you still cheer for somebody to beat cancer. And even though you know, in all likelihood, it's done, you're still cheering that on until the very end. And that's how I felt with Taker. I'm like, he could still beat this. He could still possibly come back one more year. And then it happened, and it was like, you know, after a long battle, like, you're just like, you kind of come to grips and terms with it. You know, you're like, I think he's at peace with it.
Yeah, another way you could say it is, it's like an old family pet.
Oh, yeah.
That you finally take out back and put down. Because it's just way too old to do anything.
You're right, because I had to put dog down less than 2 years ago, and I kind of felt a lot of weird, similar feelings last night. I really did. Cause,
like, Roman Reigns didn't want to do it. He didn't want to beat Taker, but someone had to.
You could tell on Roman's face that he's like, I really, like, he agreed to it, but I don't know if he probably even understood the gravity of the situation, but when it was finally there, his foot, like, right there, he was like, holy shit, I don't want to do this. Like, he probably needed a hug more than anybody else backstage.
I wonder what happened after that. Like, I hope the next WrestleMania 24 or whatever actually covers that, like, immediately afterwards, what happened. Like, did Taker come to him, like, hug him or something? Or did Vince hug him? Or did anyone?
So, yeah, I'm going to say Vince hugged Roman first and Vince hugged Taker first. I don't think it's going to be as, it could be just as emotional as, you know, like last year with Shane and Vince, like, that was a really moving moment. And when HBK retired, like, all that shit, like...
Like Ric Flair's match?
Flair's, yeah. And damn it, don't make us wait 12 months for that special. Like, that 24 special of the night after WrestleMania that they just put on this past week was really good. They did not need to wait 12 months.
No, do it, like, next month.
Right, I want to see, I want to see stuff, and I guess that leads to the next question. What do they do tonight to honor Taker? Do they do anything? Do they just show the video? Do they bring Taker out to honor him? How the fuck does it go down?
I think it would be whatever Taker wants to do. if they asked him, like, can we do like a tribute show or something, and he said no, they don't do it. You gotta do something though. I don't know what it would be. Like, maybe I would jokingly say a 3-hour tribute to him.
Right, like if anybody's deserving. Well, you remember the year that Flair lost, right? And they did that. They did a really good tribute. Like, it was really well done. Where they brought back all the people from his past. I mean, I want to see Kane out there tonight.
Yeah.
That's important to me. I want to see Big Show out there. Because Big Show deserves some recognition, too. But,
maybe,
you know, I want to see him out there.
Do you think Big Show for Hall of Fame next year?
Big Show is just as deserving as anybody else available right now.
He deserves it.
So much last night, I was in my heart of hearts, I was kind of hoping to see Kane last night, like walk Taker to the back or something.
I was thinking maybe the Druids. I mean, they're not really, they change every, you know, all the time, but.
The Druids were so synonymous to Taker, especially at WrestleMania. Like, Druids would have been awesome. But then they just have him, like, disappear into the ramp.
So many of his opponents are dead now, aren't they, from WrestleMania?
No, I mean, he wrestled Triple H 3 times, Shawn twice, Flair.
Kane a few times.
Kane a couple times. Boss Man's dead, Snuka is dead, Jake Roberts is still alive, King Kong Bundy is still alive,
I believe he is, yeah. Kamala, I think, is dead.
Yeah, you can't... I wouldn't bring
Giant
Kamala
Gonzalez
or King
is dead.
Oh, yeah. I'd probably bring back... Yeah, well, you probably can't bring back Punk, but if you'd bring back CM Punk for any one thing, if Punk would actually agree to something, as much of a dickhead as Punk is, I'm just saying he might consider that to honor Taker. As like, even if it was just a video thank you to post on WWE.com, I could see him considering that.
Did he do anything on Twitter?
I've been so busy with, because last night was the season finale of Walking Dead, so between fucking a million hours of Mania and then Walking Dead, like, I fell asleep with the keyboard in my hand writing stuff.
That's dedication.
I'm just like, holy fuck, am I exhausted? And I slept for 11 and a half hours. This weekend has just killed me. So,
they could get, which Pritchard was Brother Love?
Bruce.
He could get him back. They get Ted DiBiase.
I was just going to say him and DiBiase would be cool. Mark Henry, he's still around.
Yep. Kamala, I guess, because he told the urn. Kamala, the Godfather. Kamala Mustafa.
Yeah, I mean, because you can't bring Yoko back, of course.
Nope.
I would... Boss Man's dead. God damn.
I don't know what they're going to do, because it's like, you know, it's the big... After WrestleMania, so they got all the call-ups and stuff. And it's interesting.
I think the final segment could be Taker-related, but then... Do you do an early Taker thing so you can actually get on with the real show, or do you save that as the end of the show? And if you save it to the end of the show, do you do a big angle with Roman to end it? Or do you save that for next week?
I think if you're doing anything, it should be no gimmick stuff. It should just be Taker.
Straight up tribute, right?
Right, yeah.
And since we're talking about tributes and stuff... If this was, in fact, Big Show's last night, do you do anything for... Like, say Taker says, I don't want any adulation, I don't want anything.
Which he might, because they didn't mention Michelle McCool in the audience, or his family, which they usually do, so...
Right. Do you think maybe they do anything nice for Big Show? Because, once again, I mean, Big Show is the next tier below Undertaker, but so is everybody else, basically, so that's... Still a hell of a thing to be Big Show. Do they do anything? Do they mention it? Do they give him like a send off of any kind tonight?
Is this his last night, or is this contract still going?
He did an interview, I think it was Friday or Saturday, saying that Mania was going to be his last night.
I think
he's still under contract, but he said that was going to be his last night wrestling.
I think you should.
I don't know how you do it, but I feel that he deserves something.
Let him give a speech or something, like Edge did. But that'd be like his last night, though.
Yeah, god damn it. That whole Edge night still makes me sad. Like, that was one of the saddest things I've ever had to deal with at a live... That was the saddest thing I ever had to deal with at a live wrestling event. They did a really good job in the send-off, but god damn, that... It was more sad just because technically he was still healthy, he just wasn't healthy enough to wrestle.
And like, unlike Daniel Bryan, he recognized that.
Right, like, he recognized it and he would rather, you know, raise his daughters and you know, have a normal life and be able to enjoy life rather than risk his life for just one more pop. Daniel Bryan's living out the wrestler.
Yeah, pretty much. He's Randy the Ram.
Which, I don't want to joke about, but if he came out to, what the fuck was it, mental health? Or Rocky Hulk or Hurricane? What the fuck did he come out?
God, I don't remember.
I want to say it was mental health.
I want to say it was Black Betty, because the band that did that was Ram Jam, but I know that wasn't it.
I don't know. I'm going to look it up while we continue talking, but yeah, I don't want to see that shit happen.
Maybe in about a year and a half, Brian will be at whatever that company is around here. D, whatever.
Maybe he could be banging Maria Manic.
Maybe. If he's lucky.
If. Oh, gosh. Shit, I have to get to the actual soundtrack performed by Bone Crusher. Mental Health by Quiet Riot.
Yeah. It's a good song.
It is. That movie was really good, and I was really afraid of watching it first, because I'm like, as much as I love Darren Aronofsky, and I have no qualms with Mickey Rourke or anything, I was just like, this is just going to be insulting to me as a wrestling fan, and it turned out to be the best wrestling movie I've ever seen.
Yeah. I would say Body Slam's pretty close.
What was it?
Body Slam's pretty close.
Oh, No Holds Barred's also something.
That's a wrestling movie.
It is. Let's see, we got less than 40 minutes. Let's talk about some of the matches on the main card that we haven't really tackled yet. First and foremost, actually, because I know I just want to vent about this, the Battle Royal. Mojo Rawley aside, the final three guys was Mojo, Jinder, and Damo, or Killian Dane, whatever the fuck you want to call him. How does that happen when you have Big Show and Braun Strowman and Sami Zayn and Dolph Ziggler and Apollo Crews? How are those your last three guys?
That's the unpredictability of a battle royal. But I don't know. That's just makes no sense. I guess maybe they don't want Gronk to go up against an actual mid to top tier guy. I don't know. Gronk's a big guy. He's like 6'6", but he won't look as big compared to Big Show or Strowman.
It's weird to me that, as far as the pre-show goes, if you looked at the final betting odds from Vegas, they got those first three matches all wrong. And I think they got everything on the main card right.
I think I read that some big money came in late for Mojo and Ambrose. So someone knew.
Got leaked at the very last minute then.
Yeah.
Because money had moved from Braun to Sammy on Saturday, I believed.
Yeah, because he was like Mick Foley, whatever. I don't know.
So, what the fuck? Like, when it came down to those final three, who were you actually cheering on? Because I was cheering on Jinder Mahal, of all people.
I think I was actually cheering on Mojo.
Wow.
So, like, there's no way that Killian Dane's going to win it. Or he should.
No, he shouldn't, because he's part of Sanity. Like, he needs to... It wasn't like Corbin, where Corbin you could see getting called up.
Yeah,
and
he's a lone
sense.
Wolf. He's not with anyone.
I thought Killian looked good last night, though. I'll give him that.
Yeah, he did.
Also,
but,
Luke Harper was a complete afterthought in that match.
Yeah, that was a waste.
I... I will say this, though. Simon Gotch was not the first guy or second guy eliminated.
It was one of the clones, right?
Yeah. And then the other one lasted to like the final five, I think.
The Chinese guy lasted a while, too.
Who?
The Chinese guy. I forgot his name.
Oh, yeah. Bing?
Yeah,
I think his first name's Bing. I always have to watch what I say because I'm like, I don't know if I'm just saying what's coming out of my mouth or if I'm actually right.
I think it's really Bing, though. Something Bing. Or Bing something. I don't know.
Yeah, basically, if you end the word with ing or ong, you got like a 50-50 chance.
I was surprised Tatanka wasn't there this year.
What are you talking about? I saw Mickey James.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. She's an Indian, right? She actually has Indian blood in her.
I would hope so, or otherwise that would have been really weird.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, she has to be Indian, probably Indian somehow, because that's just wrong otherwise.
She's always had a darker element to her skin.
Yeah, that's true.
She's not like us.
Right. Like, if I did that, I'd be like, way, no way.
Yeah, if you and I came out dressed as Indians, I feel that we would get chased out of the building.
Like, if you were Tatanka and, like, Chief J. Strongbow.
Oh my god, that'd be great. That's, you know what? That's how we would get heat, though.
Yeah, it would be, yeah.
Alright, let's... Because this kind of goes hand-in-hand with the Battle Royal in the weirdest way. The Seth Rollins Triple H. And we got... What the fuck? They built up Sami Zayn pretty good this past month. And then he gets nothing. Samoa Joe was supposed to get this monster push heading into WrestleMania. Had no match, made no appearance, and no Mick Foley. What the fuck, Steve? What the hell just happened with all that?
I have absolutely no idea. They should have at least done a Sami Zayn, Samoa Joe run-in for that match, right?
Absolutely. Like, that, like, Triple H... You know, could have been, you know, close to getting his ass beat, and Samoa Joe makes a save, and then, you know, Seth starts getting beat down with a sledgehammer, and Sami makes the run-in. And it would have made sense, and it would have actually added to that match. Like, clusterfuck run-ins don't always help. Usually they don't, but in that case, that match could have used it because Seth wasn't 100%, and Triple H is no longer 100%.
Right.
That's how you make that match actually memorable, like... Yeah, Sting versus Triple H wasn't that great, but it sure as shit was memorable.
That's true. It was. Yep.
So, I don't understand, like, fuck, man. I feel so bad for Samoa Joe, because I was like, alright, so happy when he got called up. And since then, his push, and I'm not blaming on Seth Rollins. People that are like, oh, whoa, yo, Seth Rollins really screwed up his push. Oh, I'm sorry, they didn't have a plan B, and they couldn't formulate a plan B over the past 4 weeks?
We should have, like, something for him. I mean, they're pretty good at making up quick corrections when people go down with injuries. Usually, well, at least.
Alright, well, even under the premise that Seth Rollins never got hurt, him and Samoa Joe would have had a match at Fastlane, and probably Samoa Joe beats Rollins, and Rollins still has this match with Triple H. So what the fuck was the plan for Samoa Joe? Like, he was probably never supposed to be in that match, or else they would have been put him in the match. So what the fuck were the plans?
It's a good question. I don't know.
It's a perfectly reasonable, logical question, because once you fill in all the variables, Seth Rollins' injury did not affect Samoa Joe at WrestleMania. The booking did, and the booking did a horrible, horrible job.
I read somewhere that no one showed up for, like, Samoa Joe's meet and greet at the fan act then.
Are you serious?
So wow. They use his line as, like, overflow from people next to him, I think. I don't know if that's true or not, but if it is, it's not a good sign.
No. Well, Samoa Joe needs something big tonight. He needs... I mean, I could say that for about, you know, 14 other guys, too, but Samoa Joe's supposed to be a main eventer. He needs something big tonight.
He needs to get a feud going with someone.
I'll move on to this, because kind of may go hand in hand. Finn Balor's there tonight. We know that. I don't know if you knew that, but he is there tonight. There's already pictures. Where do you start with him?
How intent are they to have him be a face?
Well, it depends on Roman. Because they're not going to turn both Roman and Finn heel.
Right.
One's got to stay face. But they should turn at least one of them so they can bump Sami Zayn up to a credible threat now that Jericho's gone.
I guess it also depends what they do with Lesnar. Do they have the belt getting taken off him like tonight, or do they want him to have the belt and do nothing with it for 6 months?
Oh, hopefully 6 months, because nobody gives a fuck about the red belt. Nobody cares about Raw, so why not just go with something that inane?
Then you can have Finn and Reigns, I guess, feud to see who faces Lesnar?
They had a good match. I'll give them that. Who are your top heels right now? Owens is a top heel, but he's only U.S. champion, which doesn't make him top heel. Who is your top heel on Raw right now?
Triple H. Stephanie, obviously.
Yeah, who's your top in-ring heel?
Triple H, Stephanie.
Yeah, right. So therein lies the problem. So we got to get a new number one. I guess in theory, if they really wanted to, Roman and Finn could both be heels. But they would still have Seth.
But who's your face? Still,
Seth.
Seth's not Sammy. Your face.
And Samoa Joe, though. Samoa Joe needs to be up there. So Finn or Roman has to stay face, and I'd rather Finn stay face.
Just because he's a demon, and the fans love the demon, so.
Keep him face for 6 months. If they want to turn him, you know, SummerSlam or something, okay, go for it, but it can't be right now. Keep him face, make some money off of his merchandise. That's huge for them.
You don't think they're going to do a Bullet Club with Finn against the Hardys?
I'm okay with that. And
they could bring Shannon Moore back as an MF-er?
Oh, shit. Shannon Moore. And the only other thing they can do, because it's all fantasy booking, they're not going to have two major changes. So it's either going to be Roman or Finn, because Samoa Joe has to get back on track.
I think it's got to be Roman, because I'm sure the fans tonight will be all over him for beating Taker.
And that would leave Finn, Seth, and Sammy as your top three faces, plus whoever's getting called up tonight. If Ty Dillinger gets called up to Raw, which would be a terrible, terrible mistake, he's not going to be any place on the top of that card. Shinsuke, on the other hand, that's a game changer for Raw.
How will the Raw audience, though, deal with Shinsuke?
They'll hum his song.
They will tonight. Because it's, you know, yeah, those fans, but next week, what will happen?
Bad things, because Shinsuke still doesn't do English well. That's why Shinsuke belongs on SmackDown for the
pretty
time
much
being.
It's like he's having seizures, he's coming out of the ring. I mean,
like, SmackDown, you can get by without much promo ability, because you can just go in the ring with Cena or Miz and be fine.
And AJ, but yeah.
On Raw, you need mic skills to get over, because Roman and Seth are still there, and they're a huge fucking... They're the guys guarding the gate right now.
What if they pull the trigger and get AJ as a face on Raw?
I don't think they can do that until the draft lottery.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because there's no free agent except for Swagger.
Right. Like, rumor is that they're having it sometime in the spring for the draft lottery. So if Shinsuke went on Raw, in theory, they could do that, but it's been my opinion that they'll bring Shinsuke to SmackDown, have him feud with AJ, get Shinsuke over, and then trade one of them to Raw.
That would make sense, yeah.
You know, it's a quick, easy feud for both guys during the after Mania.
Because without Jericho, you're losing the guy who can get anyone over, pretty much.
Right, it'd be like losing Miz on SmackDown.
Right, yeah.
Except Jericho can actually work heel or face, which
Miz is kind of a face now.
Miz has been a face this whole goddamn time against Cena, and
as has Handsome Rusev.
Oh, poor Ruru. I miss Handsome Rusev.
I mean, God, but if he can get injured, he had the right time to do it.
You're right.
He had nothing for him to do, so he might as well get injured. I mean, not like he went out and got injured, but they didn't have plans for him, so he's not missing much. Except the paycheck.
Right. All right. We got about 20-some minutes left here. I feel that I've put this off long enough. Can we please start insulting the Miz and Cena bullshit match and aftermatch?
Yes, that's a good time, I think.
So what do you got for us, Steve?
I still really hope it's just a work and that it's not really Cena proposing to Nikki.
It's a There's no way that was real. That's it. Is there any way that was real based on his hokey story about, oh, when you were in surgery? I was just like, nope, game over. Done.
I feel like if he did do that, they would have footage from Total Bellas or Total Divas or whatever the hell they're filming.
That's exactly what I said when
Although
that happened.
They could redo it. They could make it up and no one would know.
Oh, God, nobody would know either. They could just get a hospital room and rent it out and have some guy dressed up as a fucking surgeon or whatever, and they could 100% do it. But that show always needs ratings. They would have shown that. It seems like they would have had to have shown it.
Unless they made him withhold it till after.
I call bullshit on this being real. I don't call bullshit on Vince being like, hey, John, you want an extra million and have a wedding? You know, like, I know you don't want to, but it's an extra $1 million. We'll pay for everything. And Cena's like, I have nothing else better going on. Like, she's hot. And if we do a prenup right, I'm in the clear.
Oh, I'm sure he has a prenup done right.
He was
made once already. He knows what to do.
Every guy listening to this podcast, no matter what a woman tells you, no matter how much she convinces you of anything, you are a fucking moron if you do not get a prenup. How do I know this? Because I didn't get a prenup. Get a prenup.
Yeah, I mean, prenups are good. Not that I have tons to lose, but...
Oh, I have nothing to lose, but it's just for peace of mind.
Right.
Because bitches are inherently crazy. Like, men and women can mutually agree women are batshit crazy.
Yeah.
Guys can be batshit crazy, but more women are batshit crazy. Guys are just more violent assholes, but women are legitimately crazy. Like, probably if you did a survey study on what percentage of males were on, like, antidepressants versus females, that number would tell you how batshit crazy the female population is.
How the hell this
conversation turned on me bashing on women, I don't know, but I'm really happy
you just lost your whole audience.
I don't care. I don't know if you realize this, but every week on any of my blogs, I insult my contributors, I insult my fans, and the numbers keep growing.
People love to be abused.
Yeah, this is why Lifetime Network exists, because people like being abused. They're like, I take offense to this. I want to see what's going to happen next.
That's why those insult comics are so awesome.
Uh-huh. So, I'm just saying, women, you're fucking crazy. You know it. And I know damn well, I also saw some dumbass that Raylene works with. She's like, she posted something like, Nikki and Cena post like some fucking girl hearts. And I'm just like...
Although, really, I think anyone who watches wrestling is kind of crazy, because we're pretty much being abused constantly by them.
We're just as bad as heroin addicts, except like WWE doesn't come to our door and beat our ass if we don't pay for it.
Someday
they
will.
Just keep charging us every week, every month, and like we're just like, okay, whatever.
It's only $10, so it's fine.
Right, like they're smarter than heroin addicts because they're just like, this is nonviolent. We're just going to sneak that money out of your account. If you haven't logged in the past 6 months, we still got your $60.
That's right.
All right?
Yep.
Or $59.94 to be exact.
Yep.
So, like, but yeah, like we're junkies. Wrestling fans are the worst sports junkies there are.
Yeah, because it's like no time off either. It's like every single week. You're watching 12 hours of wrestling, at least.
Yeah, like, at least with any sport, no matter how long and grueling it is, like, baseball's really long and grueling, but at least you have an off-season. No, wrestler fans, we just come back week after week. Fucking Monday, Tuesday, NXT Wednesday, whatever other shit.
TNA, Lucha Underground, 205 Live, the upcoming tournament and a network.
Yeah, like, this is the way it is. Regarding the Miz and Cena match, do you have anything I say it's the worst match on the card. I said it before the match happened, and now that I've seen how the match went, I'm like, yep, I'm 100% correct on that. I don't see any match that was remotely as bad as that.
It's last by a mile, definitely.
Like, I know there's been worst WrestleMania matches. Like, WrestleMania 10 had one of the worst... Actually, WrestleMania 10 is one of the worst cards ever. But it did have the Owen and Bret match and the Shawn Michaels Razor match, so it gets praised.
Right, it gets saved by those two matches.
If you look at every other match, that is one of the shittiest cards of all time. I don't know. Do you think it was a mistake to not just have Cena versus Miz and just have the bitches in the corner and just allow them to get in the ring at some point? Wouldn't that have just made more sense?
Yeah, because Maryse hasn't wrestled in, like 8 years, 9 years, whatever it's been.
Right. And she did not look good when she first came out, and I was like, what the fuck's wrong with her? And then as soon as the coat came off, I'm like, ah, it was the coat. The coat made her...
The coat was weird. Yeah.
Yeah. She looked really good after the fact, though.
Yeah. Not in the ring wrestling-wise, but...
Alright, here's the one thing, and I'm going to use a word that I know I'm not supposed to, and I'm not even going to edit it out. I don't care at this point. That fucking ending was retarded in the fact that the referee, there's no stipulation. This is a straight-up mixed tag team match, yet the referee counted both people down. I'm sorry, when is that allowable?
When it's John Cena and Nikki Bella.
Like, did you buy the encyclopedia of rules for WWE or whatever?
I have refused. I've resisted so far. I have not bought it.
There's got to be something in there about that because you can only count the legal people in the match for a pinfall. You can't do that.
He should have been trying to get people out of the ring.
Right, that shouldn't have even counted. Those people have to be out of the ring before you can make the three count.
It's kind of like the referee in the NXT tag team triple threat. He made nothing at all to keep order going on.
A triple threat, though, I still believe should be under ECW rules at all times.
Yes.
There shouldn't be... It should just be chaos the whole time. Like, there shouldn't be legal... fuck that. God damn, that match pissed me off. So, going from one thing that pissed me off to, and this is going to tie right into something else, first of all, how great were the New Day? Because they went from being the longest reigning tag team champions to having, 5 minutes of airtime, looking like complete assholes, and then the best part of all is they're like, oh, we have a fourth member to announce for the tag team title match, and you're sitting there going... Well, if you've read online, you know what's happening. But, you know, the casual fan's like, oh, well, finally they're going to get themselves a match. And they're like, oh, no, we just want to put in an old-ass tag team into this match instead. Like, at no point were they like, oh, you know what? We should probably put ourselves in the match because, you know, we're actually good. Well, what the fuck?
They were dressed to wrestle.
Kofi Kingston is in amazing shape. Like, I haven't realized that, but his abs were ridiculous. He's ready. They were ready. And yeah. Instead, the logical thing was to not announce themselves in the match, but instead announce the Hardy Boys. Two young whippersnappers.
I think there's kind of the point where, like, people are sick of them. So I think the...
So don't you break them up?
At some point you have, at some point you have to, yeah.
During the lottery... Like, I thought they were going to break them up with Xavier getting scared versus the Wyatts, but that was fucking lifetime ago.
Or after the sex tape came out.
Well, if anything, I mean, you keep the three-way going, don't you?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You change up the participants.
Might ruin a good thing.
Xavier is good in a three-way team, goddammit. Oh, God.
At least they were Final Fantasy characters at the beginning. I don't know.
I don't play Final Fantasy, so it was lost on me.
I didn't totally realize lost. It until I saw the cat sit that one on the trombone or whatever. Then I was like, oh, that's what they are.
Yeah, it was actually still better than last year when they came out of the Bootios box, because that was cringeworthy as fuck.
Stupid Dragon Ball Z people.
So ice cream bars aren't happening, I'm assuming.
No, probably not.
Yeah. That's CM Punk could have told them that months ago.
Yeah.
The tag team match. Honestly, I thought the tag team match had the most potential to steal the show. And up till the winner, I think that probably was the match of the night. But Doo-Doo, who won it, doing nothing. Like, Matt Hardy didn't do a goddamn thing that whole match, and he won it.
Isn't that most of his career?
Doesn't that sour the match? Like, I had to take off... I don't know, I think I took off a full point and a half for it.
They didn't need to win. They should have just showed up, maybe did their spots, and then lost.
Right, they're spot monkeys. Actually, I like Jeff Swanton was fine. It looked really well. I felt bad for Sheamus.
Yeah.
At first, I felt bad for Cesaro, and then I saw the replay. I'm like, Sheamus took like a fucking spinning leg drop off the top of that ladder.
And earlier, on Sheamus his throat. Hit the ladder on his back or something.
I gotta say, Sheamus and Gallows were in there just to inflict punishment on people, and it was cracking me up. Like, they were just taking turns beating up on people, or when Sheamus, like, caved in Gallows' chest, which was just heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
Like, I felt bad for Gallows' chest at that point.
That's what those big guys should do, though.
It was cool. If you don't have the Hardys in that, I think that match is going to be over a 7 for me. I think it's going to be in the 7.5 range. Like, I think it's actually a memorable match.
Even if you had, like, Big E and Kofi in it.
Alright. Here's another thing. I don't know who to blame, but when Cass tried pulling the Rhino and putting Enzo on his shoulders, but failed miserably, how bad was that?
He means well.
He does, like... Watching the WWE 24 special night after WrestleMania, I'm like, I feel bad really ragging on Enzo and Cass because these guys really are good guys. I fully believe that, and I still like them, but they're not going anywhere. And then I saw that spot, and I'm like, they need a change. They need a change.
It's kind of the opposite of John Cena. You know, he's like terrible in the ring, and people hate him, but like he's a great guy.
Right.
And like they're great guys too, but they're just terrible in the ring.
Pretty much. I don't know. I think at some point Vince needs to take Cass off TV and just send him down to Florida. Be like, you're not wrestling. You're just hitting the gym every day, multiple times a day, and getting yourself stronger and get rid of that Baron Corbin gut. At least Baron has a rhyme and reason why he has a gut, because he was a huge, huge dude who was an offensive lineman. Like, that gut's not going to go away without surgery.
Right. Yeah, he was a big guy.
Cass can lose that gut, and he doesn't have to be Lex Luger, but he needs to look more like a dominant big man if that's what he wants to
be. He's already banging Carmella. He don't need to worry about anything.
I love Carmella. I really do. I never thought I was going to say that I love Carmella, but she has grown on me significantly.
I never thought I would tolerate Hogsworth.
Right. It's one of those weird things that worked. It's kind of like New Day. I didn't expect New Day to be great, but, you know, they eventually gelled, and it worked for them. And same way with Carmelsworth.
Yeah, it's a good matchup.
I don't know. Who would you have had win the tag team match?
I would give it a Big Cass and Enzo just to give them their moment. It's probably the only chance going to have in WrestleMania, I think.
I'm okay with them winning it at SummerSlam in Brooklyn. I mean,
yeah,
I
that's probably better.
Appreciate
for them.
More.
But then again, they should have won it NXT in Brooklyn too, when they didn't. So who knows?
That was utterly shocking to me when that happened. Like, I was like, of course they're going to win it. It's Brooklyn, and then no. What other matches were there?
There was a classic between Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. Did we hit that yet?
Go ahead, Steve. Jump on it.
Orton did, what, one move the entire time, and he won?
Yeah.
And he didn't sell any of that slideshow we had.
Nothing. That thing was just bad from the get-go.
Hopefully next time he has people wearing sheets as ghosts come out.
As long as they're not pointy head ghosts, that's fine.
Yeah, he's not listening to New Day or something.
Right. That match so didn't work for me.
Like, Bray dominated pretty much the entire time. And then Orton does one move, like, five times, and he wins.
Here's what baffles me. So far, here's 2017. Hey, Owens, you've held the belt for about 6 months. We need you to drop to 50-year-old Goldberg. He's not going to say anything about the title in any of his build-up to the Brock Lesnar fight, and Brock's not going to care about winning the belt, but we need to make sure that he has the belt. You don't need it.
How much better would that match have been if it was for the U.S. and heavyweight title?
That alone probably would have incentivized the match and it would have changed. It would have been a game changer for
them. Not
that
only
match.
Is it the two best friends against each other, it's for the belts.
Right. So they blew that. Then though, SmackDown's like, we're not going to be outdone. Hey, AJ Styles, you've been the face of our brand. Go fuck yourself. John Cena needs number 16. And here's the thing. You're going to get to lick John Cena's asshole because in 2 weeks, Cena's just going to drop the belt. And you're just not going to matter. We're going to give you a match against Shane McMahon. We're going to finally put it on Bray. And AJ's like, okay, well, I mean, I'm happy that Bray gets it. And they're like, oh, one more thing. Bray's only going to have it for a month, too. So go fuck yourself.
Yeah. I don't. And not only that, they had, like, him, like, destroy the Wyatt compound and then, like, dig up the dead sister or whatever and burn her down. It just makes no sense.
Where was... And this is why Luke should have stayed as part of that match. Luke staying in that match makes that dynamic so much more interesting. The fans could have gotten behind Luke, and they could have made the match a little longer without the bullshit gimmick.
Yeah, it would have been a big difference with Luke Harper in there.
And Eric Rowan could have made an appearance to help out the winner. I don't care who was the winner. He just could have came out and helped.
Yeah, it could have been a lot different.
That match could have went from... I don't even know where I rate that. I'm probably going to rate it around a 3.5.
You got to rate it probably second to worst because Cena and Miz was so bad that there's no way you can top that.
No, nothing's topping that. God damn it, I think it may have been worse than the Raw Women's match.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I think it was the second worst match. I think Raw Women's match was probably... And then Triple H and Rollins. Also, man, Raw Women's match may be better than Rollins Triple H. Yikes.
Yeah, I would give it better, yeah.
So, yeah, like that's what we're talking about, is this match that was built up beautifully until the past 4 weeks just went to shitter.
Yep.
I don't even want to see them feud anymore. I want it done.
Unfortunately, I don't think it is.
I don't think it is either, and the only saving grace is, once again, Luke Harper.
I'm hoping Bo Dallas somehow shows up on SmackDown as, like, the next Wyatt family member.
Yeah, Bray wants to work with Bo.
And Bo has the beard now.
Absolutely.
Maybe being, like, IRS as, like, the father or something? I don't know.
Could he be the higher power?
That'd be awesome.
We got about 5 minutes left. I think we've touched on everything except for Brock and Goldberg.
Which is, what's it to say? I mean, 5-star classic.
Yeah, it's something that the fans will remember for years and years and years and years.
I'm surprised Goldberg lasted that long. I mean, he took, like, what, 3 suplexes before getting a move off?
Yeah, how many did he take in total? Was it 9?
9 or 10, yeah.
And he took him like a champ, too.
He did. Brock throws good suplexes, though. He doesn't, like, he's safe.
Brock started to care about his suplexes, right?
Yeah. Like, what was the match earlier? Someone got tossed on their head. Oh, it was Neville. Neville and Aries. Neville tossed him on his head.
Yeah, we didn't even get a chance to talk about that match, which was good, but am I wrong in saying that the commercial break ruins it?
The commercial break always ruins it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't need to advertise it for WrestleMania.
Right. It's WrestleMania. You know what? I know that they were doing the pre-show on USA Network. So on USA Network, if you're too cheap, fine, you get the commercial break. But if you're watching on the network, there should be no commercial break.
Was the first hour on USA too?
That
I don't
know.
Think it was.
I have no idea. As a matter of fact, I was out getting pizza, and I had some of the best pizza I've had in a long time last night. Very happy with that.
Well, that's good.
I'd gotten a chicken wing pizza and a double cheese pizza, and the double cheese pizza was so good, we basically ate the whole thing before Russ got here. Because, you know, Russ is habitually late, yeah. And I was just like, you know what? Fuck him. He wasn't here. I'm eating it.
He's like kids. So. He's late. You know what happens.
Yeah, that's definitely when you message somebody and you're like, I'm on my way, and then like a half hour later you show up, it's like, dude, I don't even think he lives 20 minutes away. But that's Russ time, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we all have friends that are like that are always habitually late. So, and I actually
usually plan around it better. You're like, okay, so we got a half hour still.
Right, like my buddy Tom, if he tells me one time I add 30 minutes at least to it. Yeah.
But, like, you want to make plans with them, you tell them, like, half hour before you want them to show up, just to get there on time.
Right. Yeah. It's always that way. We are less than 5 minutes away from Raw, so do you have any final thoughts on WrestleMania? Do you want to insult it? Do you want to make any bold prediction for tonight or for tomorrow night? Do you got anything left for us?
My prediction for tonight is the crowd will be awful. They will hijack the show because they're assholes.
As is tradition.
And next year's WrestleMania will be 12 hours long.
Remember the one WrestleMania that they did like 8 hours of preview? Like it was an all-day thing on pay-per-view that they did like the history of WrestleMania.
Yeah,
thing.
It was like, was it 30? Was it for the big milestone?
I want to say it was for, I think it was much earlier than
25,
that.
25 maybe?
Say it was like, maybe 25. It was really ridiculous and lengthy and girthy.
Yeah, they don't need that much time. They need a it's like a Tarantino movie where like use a good editor.
Yeah.
I mean, the first two Tarantino movies are awesome, but lately they're just kind of drawn out and going too long.
I used a Tarantino quote in my last Walking Dead blog. It was from Reservoir Dogs. It was when fucking Michael Madsen is saying, you know, if the guy would have done what I told him not to do, then I wouldn't have had to do what I had to do. I know it's the wrong quote, but you remember that, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. So, all right, man. We're gonna wrap this up. For anybody
how sad
that's
is
actually,
it? That's a 12-hour WrestleMania, and we got done in 2 hours.
Oh, I think we were probably more entertaining than what they were, and I don't even know. I don't think we're entertaining. I just say that we were more entertaining than what we were presented.
We're like
a
lava aisle away entertaining,
or Roman punching the ground.
Yes.
God damn it. Anybody that wants to keep up on any of this stuff, go to ninedeuce.com/wrestling. I think if you want to go to the podcast, it's ninedeuce.com/areyounotentertained. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/ninedeuceblogs. And we're on Twitter and Instagram at official9deuce. And nobody really cares. So go fuck yourselves. Don't even visit us. I don't care. Whatever. You're going to visit now that I've told you not to care. So
they'll show you.
Hopefully we have some fun tonight. I'm sure we'll talk about it again soon enough. But thank you for being on, man.
No problem.
All right. With that being said, hope you guys enjoy the show the next 2 nights. Have a good one.